Hello, good morning. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 12. 2 Chronicles 12. It took place when the kingdom of Rehoboam was established and strong that he and all Israel with him forsook the law of the Lord. And it came about in King Rehoboam's fifth year, because they had been unfaithful to the Lord, that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem with 1,200 chariots and 60,000 horsemen. And the people who came with him from Egypt were without number, the Lubim, the Sukkim, and the Ethiopians. And he captured the fortified cities of Judah and came as far as Jerusalem. Then Shemaiah the prophet came to Rehoboam and the princes of Judah who had gathered at Jerusalem because of Shishak. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, you have forsaken me, so I also have forsaken you," to Shishak. So the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves and said, "The Lord is righteous." And when the Lord saw that they had humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, "They have humbled themselves, so I will not destroy them. But I will grant them some measure of deliverance, and my wrath shall not be poured out on Jerusalem by means of Shishak. But they will become his slaves, so that they may learn the difference between my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries." So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's palace. He took everything, even took the golden shields which Solomon had made. Then King Rehoboam made shields of bronze in their place and committed them to the care of the commanders of the guard who guarded the door of the king's house. And it happened as often as the king entered the house of the Lord, the guards came and carried them and then brought them back into the guard's room. And when he humbled himself, the anger of the Lord turned away from him so as not to destroy him completely, and also conditions were good in Judah. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. Now Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen from all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah the Ammonitess. And he did evil because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. Now the acts of Rehoboam from first to last, are they not written in the records of Shemaiah the prophet and of Iddo the seer, according to genealogical enrollment? And there were wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continually. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, and his son Abijah became king in his place. Amen. You know, most times, like if you actually went and looked through the Bible, there are so many references to trusting God, depending on God, when things are not going well, when in difficult times. I mean, you could find tons of verses all throughout the Bible of how important it is to trust the Lord, to lean on God, to be dependent on God, especially in times of difficulty. The crazy thing is that may not necessarily be the greatest danger that we face. And obviously, when times are tough, we know, oh, we've been depending on ourselves, and we turn ourselves to the Lord. But generally speaking, probably the true test of depending on God and these things is really not necessarily in times of difficulty, because in difficulty, you have no choice. I mean, you're like stuck, right? You got nowhere else to go, no one else to depend on. You know that your faculties and everything that you desire to do yourself has failed. But it's actually in times of prosperity. Those are the important times where you really begin to define, you know, if you really are trusting the Lord or not. And unfortunately, for Judah and Rehoboam, they had failed this test. Remember yesterday we talked a little bit about that these guys were faithful for 3 years. Now we know why it was 3 years. So 3 years they were faithful. Even the kingdom of Israel, the people and the Levites would come. 3 years, they were so faithful. They walked in the ways of the Lord. And because of the prosperity, because things were so good, I mean, you can imagine being in Rehoboam's case. He doesn't have to lift a finger, and the tribes of Israel are coming and serving him. And so he must, I'm interjecting here, but he must be thinking, man, I'm a really good king. I mean, things are going really well. And as soon as that starts happening, the demise begins to set in. And what happens, and I want you to know, this is not just Rehoboam, it's all Israel. Verse 1 says that Rehoboam was established and strong, that he and all Israel with him forsook the law of the Lord. And for whatever reason, things were going too well, and unfortunately, he began to melt away and moved into apostasy. Now, interesting to note, the next verse says, and then on the fifth year, because they had been unfaithful, then Shishak, the king of Egypt, came in. And it's and this is kind of a you can think about spiritual rhythms. Like I've noticed personally for me that when I, like, you go into like a season of prayer and like when you're really praying, let's say for us as a church, like the fast. Well, what I find personally is that we don't normally feel the full intensity or the benefit of the fast actually until months later on. And there's something about the rhythm and the cycle, the spiritual cycle that we go through. The flip side, too, is sometimes when things, and this is where the enemy can really deceive us. I don't know if you've ever done this, but, you know, you committed a sin, and then you feel like, okay, God, you're going to strike me down. Like, something bad's going to happen. And all of a sudden, it doesn't. Like nothing bad happens. And then we can deceive ourselves into continue to sin and these things, but eventually the judgment of the Lord will come and his discipline will come. And so it's a couple of different things. One, I would say it's a spiritual rhythm that sometimes we don't necessarily feel right away instantly the benefit of the blessing, or also kind of the judgment of our wrongdoing that happens. And it could also be that maybe God just waits for Rehoboam and Judah to turn from the Lord. But in any case, it happens in the fifth year. They were unfaithful, and Shishak comes on the scene. And Shishak was a very, very great king with a lot of alliances, and some of them, just for old name's sake, you know, the Lubim, these are the Libyans that we see today. The Shukim were basically a group of Arabs that resided towards the Red Sea. They actually lived in these caves. And obviously we know the Ethiopians. So, you know, dealing with a lot of North Africans that are coming into this place. And they are punished because of their apostasy. Now, they get to as far as Jerusalem, and then Shemaiah, the great prophet, begins to speak the word of the Lord, and they don't sack Jerusalem, but there's consequences to this. They take away quite a bit of the spoils, and these things begin to happen. And then the word of the Lord comes to Shemaiah. They humble themselves. Remember, just a few chapters before, the Lord had made this promise to them that if they would humble themselves and pray, that God would heal their land and would rescue them, basically. And so we see this literally being played out here through the attacks of Shishak. And so they humble themselves, and the Lord relents, but yet there's still a consequence, and they lose all their gold, all their shields, and it becomes kind of a joke in some ways. And so they take, remember Solomon had established like millions of dollars worth of gold shields. And then they were taken away. So Rebel makes bronze shields, but they don't even have enough of the bronze shields. That's how low the financial situation became, that there was actually a runner that every time that he would go into the temple, they would bring these shields in, and when the king would leave, they would take them back and put it in storage. And so there wasn't enough for all the guards to have. And so it was more of a show more than anything else. And we see that Judah is impoverished as a result of their apostasy and their sin, but they're not completely taken over. Long story short, so he humbles himself before the Lord, so the anger of the Lord turns away. And then Rehoboam strengthens himself. He lasts another 17 years. But towards the end, it's hard to make this connection, but in verse 13, it mentions his mother's name was Nama the Ammonitess, and then he does evil because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. The connection is it's because of his mother-in-law, because he had invited all these foreign wives and concubines, and then they brought in their gods and their religious practices, and it had so infiltrated Rehoboam that he actually doesn't finish well, and he ends up doing evil in the sight of the Lord, unfortunately, towards the end. But I want you to go to Deuteronomy Let's flip the page. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, look at verse 11. He says, verse 11, "Beware lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Lest when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart becomes proud and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with his fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness, he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, 'My power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth.' But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And we have this warning. He says, "Hey," and this is kind of what happens. I say this many times. I don't think it's a fact that we don't love God or those things, but the reality is we have very short memories. And we forget what God has done for us. And it's really, really important to think through. Even last night, you know, we had a premarital class, and the topic, the unit of discussion was finances. And so we're talking, we're going through things, and then one of the couples stayed back because they're engaged and they're having some issues dealing with finances, because, you know, the guy, he's quite wealthy, you know, there's an inheritance coming and all these things, and, you know, a typical story, future mother-in-law is trying to control the whole situation, you know, with money and these type of things, and so we finished, we had a good conversation, it's all done. But then afterwards, you know, I was thinking, wow, how incredibly blessed, you know, I was thinking of this person, but I was thinking more of my kids. How incredibly blessed that this kid, you know, as he gets older, his parents will leave him an inheritance, you know? And so, you know, that night I was trying to sleep, and I was thinking about that. I was like, well, I'm not really going to leave my kids much of anything, like in terms of financially. As much as we like to, the reality is that, you know, then you get into like a bit of complaining, you know, you get into a bit of like, well, I wish I could have done that, or, all these things start playing in your head. And then, so this morning, as I'm walking to church today, you know, you guys know, I was always, you know, pray, as I'm coming to, EMP. And as I'm walking in, I'm just reminded of just how thankful I am of what I do have, and how God has brought, you know, Lisa and I from, you know, I remember getting married, you know, without a job, and then now we're here in Hong Kong and, you know, living in a nice apartment, you know, four beautiful kids, you know, my eldest becomes a teenager today and things, and just, I mean, what an idiot I am for complaining the night before about not having when I actually have so much. You know what I mean? You think about what God has done. It's like, I'm so blessed. But it's like the enemy is so good at coming in and bringing discontentment in our life. Just by little things that happen. And so, you know, I would say it's not that I don't love God. Is, you know what? I just have a short memory. You know, I just forget. And you realize how important the discipline of thanksgiving is, of always giving thanks to the Lord. In all things, give thanks, for this is God's will for you. And how important it is for each one of us to constantly be giving thanks to the Lord. Because when we're not walking in thanksgiving, then we can easily be like Rehoboam and just take for granted all the blessings and all the different things, the peace that's all around us, people that are coming in, you know, from his rivals, coming into his kingdom and worshiping, you know, the God of Israel and honoring him. And we can forget so easily. And so, I mean, this is really, more than anything else, our test. Not necessarily in times of difficulty, but actually in times of prosperity. When things are, because what happens is that we can very easily turn it on ourselves. Oh, it was my hard work, it was my intellect, or my connections, or whatever it is that made that got me to this place. And we can become very prideful as a result of that, and really depend on ourselves instead of depend on God. And so, you know, let's close our eyes and let the Holy Spirit speak to us. Let's not forget. I love the psalmist that says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me." He says, "And forget not his benefits." In other words, don't forget what God has done for you. Remember, once you were lost and alone in the darkness, and he found you. Yes, we can complain about what we don't have, for sure. But that's not going to get us anywhere. Instead, let's give thanksgiving for what we do have. And put our lives in the right perspective of God. And not forget all that he's done for us. I want to strengthen and encourage us this morning to trust God in all circumstances. To depend on God, not just in difficult times, but especially in times of prosperity.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down, worship him now. How great, how awesome is he. Together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. The earth is filled with his glory. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of worship him now. How great, how awesome is he. Together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. Rising up all around, it's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. Together we sing, everyone sing. Is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory.
And bless the Lord, all my soul, and with all that's within me, bless His holy name. And forget none of His benefits. You know, this morning, as we just spent some time in prayer, well, let's just step into that place of thanksgiving. You know, we can complain about what we don't have, and we can murmur and all kinds of things. Like I said, instead, let's give thanks. You know, let's give thanks for our salvation, that He saved us. Let's give thanks for His blessing over our lives. Let's give thanks over our health, over our jobs, over our families. We have so much if we just sit down and think about it. Well, let's give thanks to the Lord, for He is great. Well, let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers. Let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer and going through therapies. And let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. And let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community looking for work, and let's pray for God's open doors and His provision. Let's go to our mission focus. Let's pray for China. Let's pray for SP Beijing and SP Singapore or Shanghai. Let's pray for the Chungs, Matt and Nate's parents. Pray for churches. You know, there's a lot of political crackdowns and things happening. It seems like the church in this time is very tenuous right now. Let's just pray for God's protection. Let's pray for some of the churches that have been forcibly closed and these type of things. Let's just pray that Christ would continue to be glorified and people would continue to meet together to worship Him. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our board. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and just really use each member. Just fill them with the wisdom of God, the power of the Lord, and they would really be very discerning and righteous as we continue to try to lead our church. Let's lift up. Let's cover our fellowship ministries. Let's pray for the Yahweh, the young adults, the Yaman, Yahweh Eats. Let's pray for the hand of God upon our single young adults. Let's pray for our men's ministry, especially our retreat that's coming up next week. Let's pray that more of our brothers would sign up and that we would really encounter God. Let's pray for Pastor Teddy as he'll be leading our time, that the Lord would fill him with His words. Let's also lift up the women's retreat that's coming up in the first week of November. Let's pray that they would fill the last few spots. But more than anything else, that the Lord would use Lena and Lisa to really bring us into His presence. Let's cover our ministries and our people at this time. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for our building and resources. And let's continue to pray for a benefactor. And just ask God to continue to bless and increase the Vision Fund. Now let's pray. And let's pray for house churches tonight, Blue Pool, Causeway Bay, East Enders, Lido, Lion Rock, New Conduit, Robin Hood, and TST. Let's pray for our leaders, our hosts, pray every person that comes together will just really just grow and just grow in love for the Lord and for one another. And God, will really just knit these little communities together. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you, God. Lord, we want to trust you, Lord, in bad times. We want to trust you in good times, Lord. We just want to be totally dependent on you, God. And instead of us complaining, God, of what we don't have, Lord, help us to give thanks for what we do have. Lord, the way you've blessed our lives and watched over us, Lord. And we're so grateful, God, to you. And so help us to walk in contentment, God, Lord, more than anything else, Lord. And we bless you. Lord, help us to honor and worship your Son with all that we do and say today, God. We love you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you tomorrow.